You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 69. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beyond the High Road. Hello, you guys. How's everybody doing today? It is ugly outside. I think it's ugly everywhere. Pardon me while I finish putting a top coat on my nails. I was just painting a Valentine's Day theme, even though I can't say dislike Valentine's Day. I just think it's kind of a bullshit holiday. But I made these cute little hearts. I don't know if you can see them or not. Oh, that looks really fuzzy. Actually, the heart looks way cuter than what that's showing there. Anyway, they're really cute. When you see them close up, they look like real hearts, not like blobs. So today, you know, before I even start, as I'm painting, it just reminded me of somebody's podcast. I can't think of who it is right now. It'll come to me in a minute. Where, this is a genius idea, where they, it's a girl, she's blonde. I can't remember who it is. But she has her guests come on and they knit or they do something while they're talking about like emotional topics. Who is that? Because they're doing something with their hands while they're talking, it actually allows the guest that she's interviewing to divulge more information than the guest otherwise would have. I think it's genius. And so they sit and being creative and it opens up that part of the mind. And plus too, while you're doing something like that, of course, it calms your nerves. And so more authentic, you know, genuine thoughts come out. So that just made me painting my nails, finishing up my nails there, just remind me of that. That is a genius thing to do. And if you are like me and a little bit ADHD or a lot bit ADHD, you know probably how amazing that sounds to be interviewed or be doing anything. Honestly, if I could be roller skating and recording this, I would be doing anything other than sitting down for a few reasons, but I'll get into that in a second. But yeah, I mean, I work so much better, more efficiently when I'm able to be doing something at the same time, especially in conversation with somebody. Some might want to call that a nervous tick, but I think it's actually the way that our brains work. We can tap into different areas of our brain depending on what we're doing with our hands and with our bodies. So anyway, not at all what we're going to be talking about today. Speaking of sitting or standing, the last couple weeks, I had this happen for like a hot minute back in like 2020-ish, but the symptoms went away really quickly. And then it hadn't happened again until a couple weeks ago. I have self-diagnosed. I have not yet gotten into the doctor because here in Florida, one thing I can't stand about living here is it takes like 6 months to get into the damn regular doctor. It's ridiculous. It's all the older people living here. No offense to anybody. But anyway, besides the point, I'm just trying to shift responsibility for my own health right now. I believe that I have thoracic outlet syndrome, which is I get like, it happens on my left side, but it's tingling in my left hand, in my thumb and forefinger, and my index finger. It doesn't hurt. It's just uncomfortable. And it happens when I sit. So if I'm a little wiggly today and you're watching this, then you know why. That's just my little disclaimer. I might be a little bit more ants in my pants than normal. But today we're going to be talking about for the year, I'm offering that you join me in taking the word should out of your vocabulary. My bet is that the word is more ingrained in your thought systems and your speech than you might think. Maybe you already know. You're like, oh yeah, no, I should myself all the time. But maybe you don't even know that you're saying it to yourself. But it's rarely helpful for us to should on ourselves. I wrote down some of the instances that it might come up for y'all, the ways it has come up for me. And I recalled some of the things that my clients say we should on ourselves. And then we also should on how other people should be behaving. In both of those cases, though, it rarely produces the result you want. And if it does get you to the end result, the way that you got there is usually by guilt, which means that you are not likely to keep creating the result that you want from should. So I'm going to give you some examples, some of the things I wrote down here. I've got them separated in present and past tense. If you're shoulding yourself, it sounds like I should go to the gym. I should start dating again. I should eat better. I should write that email. I should be further along than I am. I should look forward to my parenting time. I should look forward to my scheduled call with my kid. I shouldn't feel nervous about or have mixed feelings about seeing my kids. I should be writing them letters in my journal every day. I should be journaling every day. I should be sending them more gifts. I should be doing more. I should be doing less. I should be more focused, more disciplined, more self-aware, more poised. You get the picture. I'm going to stop there for a second and go over the present tense for our own selves. We oftentimes, by shoulding ourselves, we're really putting pressure on ourselves to be different than we currently are, or to be doing something different than we currently are doing. We're either should be further along, and that is inferring, sending the message to ourselves that we are not enough, we're not doing enough, we're not where we're supposed to be. And I'm sure that you guys, if you've been listening to the show for a little while, know my stance on this and how unhelpful that kind of thinking is. And where you currently are with your healing, with your maybe rebuilding your life, where you are in your profession, where you're headed, all of that is exactly where you should be. And when we should ourselves, want us to be, want our own selves to be somewhere different than where we currently are, we end up guilting ourselves into stagnancy. I can think back to so many of the times. I know that I actually did an episode on this before. If I should be further along, then that means that I should be somewhere that I don't even know where that is yet. Because if I knew where I wanted to end up, like exactly where I wanted to end up, then I would have had a plan and I would have already been there. But if I'm not further than I am right now, then clearly something is, there's a gap and I haven't yet figured out how to cross that bridge. So by shooting myself, like I should be up there, but here I am, here in the doldrums, then I end up creating this place of confusion and uncertainty. It's the opposite of helpful. Let me also touch on one that I hear from my clients on the constant. And that is, and one that I still do sometimes on myself, but especially when I didn't understand or realize what I was doing, I would often guilt myself for not looking forward to my parenting time with my kiddo. I always want to spend time with my daughter. But when, and I did back then. And I'm not just like, I love, truly love spending time with my daughter. And if it were that alone, there would be no issue. But for me, each time I spent time with her before, it was a reminder that things were not right in my mind, that things were not how they should be in my mind. And so the time leading up to the 24 hours leading up to exercising my parenting time, and by parenting time, I mean supervised visit, I would teeter between excitement, dread, fear, and shame. And that would be a little cycle that I did for a good 24 hours, sometimes longer, before leading up to going and having our visit, which was weekly at that point. And I remember very distinctly, like getting in the car on the way to see her, wanting to like crawl out of my skin because I was still in that argument with reality, facing that things were, the situation was what it was, and that I was yet again going to another supervised visit to see my own daughter. I would often bring crafts to do, projects for us to do, so that it wasn't awkward. Like, you know, the loom where you would make like pot holders, but we made different stuff. Or we made those bracelets. We would paint rocks and made garden stones with the little stones that you would put inside, like for the cement and whatever. So I would bring one of something like that almost every time that I saw her, either that or we had something else planned, right? I would still dread going there because I knew that I would have to face the situation and see the supervisor there with us, the shame of that and the cold, hard reality that after 2 or 3 hours that I would have to part ways with my daughter, not see her again for a week or two. And that was brutal. But what I did, and I think what I would have loved for me to know back then, is that the shaming I was doing on myself leading up to going to see her was not that I was going to have to face reality and have the supervisor there. I mean, that was there a little bit, but the shaming I was doing on myself was, you should want to go to these. This is your daughter. Why aren't you looking forward to these? Of course, you should be jumping for joy because you get to go see her and you're not. What is wrong with you? You shouldn't be anxious. You shouldn't be dreading this. You shouldn't feel fear. You should feel comfortable around your daughter. You should know more about what she wants, what she is doing these days. You should know more about her hobbies, what her favorite color is now, what her blah, 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 blah. When we shame ourselves, guilt ourselves, it is not rational. And so that part of you will forget to add in the context for why you're not looking forward or why you don't know favorite color. It only paints like this very vague, sloppy picture, sort of making you out to be the bad guy and the bad parent in that situation. And so I think if I had that clarity back then, this clarity back then, I would have been maybe a lot easier on myself than I was. I really guilted myself, shamed myself a lot, and told myself that I should have been different than I was. And so if you're going through that right now, just remind yourself each time with any of the shoulds, bring all of your thoughts to inquiry and make sure that you're providing context for yourself so that you're not just making yourself out to be this horrible person that should want this or should know what your kids' milestones have been if you're not spending the time with them. So in the present tense too, when you're telling yourself that you should be doing something, I always think it's going to be a quick episode, much more to say than I thought. When it comes to, I should be eating better, I should be making more money doing something that you're not, I think the better question or the better approach to that is deciding what you want to do about whatever you're shoulding on yourself. Ask yourself in that moment when you're like, I should go to the gym. Do I want to go to the gym? Do I have time to go to the gym? Again, bring context and decide whether that's something that you are going to do. And then move forward in a very intentional way about whatever that thing is. And let go of the should. Because if you can decide, like, for something as simple like, is I should go to the gym. If you can stop, it takes maybe a few seconds to do this and go, okay, do I want to go to the gym? Yes, I absolutely want. I truly want to go to the gym. Not like I should want to go to the gym, but I actually do want to go to the gym. Is this a possibility? Is anything else in the way of that? Okay, well, work and blah, 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 and I actually probably won't have time for it. Fill in all the context. Then do I decide to make time for it? Or do I value the other activities more than going to the gym today? That way you're like mindfully deciding what it is you actually want to do about the situation. You're being logical about what the illogical should brain is telling you that you should be doing. That part of your brain is there to sort of torture you. It's this sense of obligation that you should be eating better. When you come from a place of, I want to be eating better, I do want to eat better, I am going to prioritize eating better. See the difference in your attitude towards eating better or going to the gym or whatever it is that you want to do. I should go for a walk right now. Okay. Am I going to go for a walk? Why or why not? I don't want to go for a walk right now, but I made a commitment to myself to go for a walk right now. We're coming off of New Year's, not coming off of resolutions, but coming just out of the time frame when things start getting real. 25 days into the new year and people are like deciding whether or not how long they have. Could I make it for another 2 months? I had a 3-month goal. Am I going to keep going? Willpower starts to wear off right about now. And so that's why I was doing this episode today, because so often we have these bright ideas about making these resolutions and about what we want to do before summertime. We want to get our swimsuit body back, or we want to lose such and such pounds so you can wear that cute pair of shorts, or you want to gain so much muscle or whatever. It is so common for people to make these very lofty goals for themselves. But when push comes to shove, and if you're using willpower in order to make that goal happen, then it's not uncommon to run into some fatigue. We only have so much willpower per day, really, and so much overall willpower per goal. Like, that is science backed. So if you have made a commitment to yourself to go to the gym every day after work for the next 3 months, my bet is that come 6 o'clock or whatever it is, whatever time it is that you get off work and you're headed towards the gym, you've already made a lot of decisions throughout your day. And your willpower, especially if you're on an eating plan too, your willpower might be like at the point where you're teetering. It's not as strong as it was when you woke up in the morning. So those are things to think about. That's a whole different episode. And being that came from my nutrition and fitness background, if you guys want, I'm happy to do a series on that stuff, on proper goal setting for your health and fitness. Happy to do that. But today I'm going to stick to topic. So basically what I'm saying is you want to put context to your shoulds on yourself, right? Is this something I want to do, and is it feasible? If it's not feasible, do I want to make it feasible? And then have your own back on whatever you decide. Once you gain and spell out all of the other factors, then you usually have an easier time for you to let go of the should. You stop tormenting yourself. Do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? Is it realistic? Yada, yada. The second one we're going to talk about is the present tense they. That might sound like they shouldn't be alienating my kid from me. They should be supportive of my relationship with my kid. My neighbor should be less annoying. My mom should call me more. My kid should want to spend time with me. All children should be respectful of their parents. My child should call me on my birthday. My partner should do more around the house. Loving partners should fulfill each other's wants and needs. They should know what I want and provide it. My boss should pay me more. Lawyers should charge less money. People shouldn't be rude. You know that I could go on and we could get very creative with this, but you get the idea. You guys have heard me talk about the manual before, when we have these unspoken set of rules for each person that we have in our lives, right? All of those shoulds, those are just standards that we have for other people. And although some of them seem across the board realistic for somebody to follow, as if there is a general code and a rule for all people to follow one way, it's not the case. You know, different cultures have different ways of thinking about this, even from family to family. The ideas of what is considerate and what is not, what is acceptable, what is not, changes, right? And so there are a few of those on that list that I know
all of us probably share, and that's that kids should be respectful of adults, of their parents, and that your kids should want to see you. They should look forward to their time spent with you. That the other parent should be supportive and should be an advocate for your relationship with your kid. Those are the ones that I think probably hit home the most. They should be supportive of your relationship. Another very common one is that I should have had more guidance, more support from my parents when I was growing up. We want things to be different. We want them to be different. When we're telling ourselves should, it's still not helpful, but it's so much more controllable because we have the power to change that. When we're saying that somebody else should be different than what they are, then we have now victimized ourselves. Right? They should act better. They should want to see me. All of these rules that we have that we don't even realize are our own thinking as a result of our own thinking. Each time that you say that somebody should be some whatever way, ask yourself who you would, I got this from Byron Katie, but who would you be without being able to think that thought? How would you be able to show up if you didn't have the ability to think that thought, if that thought never occurred to you that they should be different? How can you get to the place where they should be doing exactly what they're doing? Maybe not every kid does want to hang out with their parents. And what I like to do is take like however they're being when I want them to be different than how they're acting, then I usually like to think about how it is that they are being the way they're being for me. Like not that they're doing it as charity towards me or that they're doing it, that their intention is anything other than what their agenda is, but that how is it that this situation of them being the way that they're being could be beneficial to me and be my teacher? Like, how are they being my teacher in this moment? What can I learn from this? Maybe I decide that I want to learn patience, right? I want to exercise more patience for whoever it is that I'm speaking about. Maybe it's that I am expecting my kiddo to show love to me more. Then how is it that I can show me love to me more, right? Because when I'm loving me fully, then I don't need my kid to love me any more than she already is. When I'm loving myself fully, then I don't need my partner to do all of the things that I think and expect a partner to do in order to show that they love me. I have way less rules for people when I am fulfilling my own needs. That's the answer to everything. You are so much less needy and feeling less victimized when you know that you are able to provide for yourself in all of the truest, most genuine ways that you possibly can. And so usually the follow-up question, what I would have asked back in the day is, well, what if I'm not able to provide the things that I think that I need? And if that's the case for you, then I would just urge you to look further into that because you right now, as you are absolutely fully equipped to provide yourself with exactly what it is you're looking for in somebody else. When you learn to provide it for yourself, the rewards you create for yourself, your result is that much sweeter. And it may take longer when you're doing it for yourself. If we're talking about like external things like money, it may take longer. But the fact that you have now taught yourself how to be the person that creates that money for yourself, the emotions you generate from that alone is so much more than feeling like you need to rely on somebody else to create that for you. Okay, so now we're going to go into the past tense version of should. I should have sued for custody. I should have filed the modification earlier. I should have eaten better. I shouldn't have driven that one night. I should have acted on it sooner. I should have known better, seen the signs. Anytime that there's a should, shouldn't about our history, anything that happened back when, it's always a way to punish ourselves or hold ourselves back in the now, limit our capabilities in today. I should have applied myself in school and then I wouldn't be where I am today. I should have known not to date him or her back then, and I wouldn't be where I am today, or I would have been further along than this, whatever it is. When we look back at what we did or didn't do, it is most often a romanticized view of what could have been. So again, provide the context, ask the questions. Should I have? Was that really an option for myself? And back then, did I have all the information that I have today? And if I did or didn't do whatever it was, I had all the information. There was obviously other circumstances that I'm not considering right now that I was considering back then that made me think that this was the right thing to do at the time, right? So it's just always, as with all the other things that I offer to you guys, is just advocating for yourself in the moment when that part of your brain wants to torture you. For this year, my proposal for you is to really, if you're going to focus on one area, I think that eliminating these shoulds, shouldn'ts would be so helpful for your mental health and your state of mind on the day-to-day basis. Take out the shoulds. That language ends up limiting you and your possibilities for your future and how you view yourself today. Instead of using should, make the decision in the moment. Is this something that I want to pursue? Or is this something that I can put on the back burner? Is this a not yet, not now thing? It's a simple way to eliminate the problem because the should suggests to you that you're not doing enough and that you need to be contemplating the decisions you already have made. And that keeps you on the fence. It keeps you stagnant and second guessing yourself. Oh, what you really should be doing is blah, blah, blah. Suggesting that what you are doing right now isn't the right thing to be doing, as if there is one right thing that you should be doing. It also helps you to hold yourself accountable for the choices that you are making. And do you want to redirect yourself and go towards whatever you're shoulding yourself to do? Like, do you want, does it make sense for you to go do that thing? If you're mindfully deciding in the moment, you empower yourself. So it's a surefire way to get you into motion and out of the place of uncertainty, confusion, and doubt, a lack of trust with yourself. So yeah, next week, we'll actually get into that more. We're going to be talking about developing self-trust and discipline with yourself, for yourself, but we will talk about that next week. So I would just like you to consider what life might look like for yourself if you eliminated the should, the obligation to be different than you currently are. It's two different things to aspire to grow into the future version of you, mindfully, intentionally. And then it's another thing to say that you should be somewhere else, right? This idealistic, unrealistic version of yourself. You will find that when you go the first route, you will move the needle a lot faster and you will feel a lot more confident and better about yourself in the process. So, yeah, take the should and shouldn't out of your vocabulary. Next week, we shall talk about self-trust and discipline. Okay, guys, have a wonderful week. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your specific situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.